From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starting from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, we will play Indonesian songs. Well, listener, I will begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Jakarta administration plan to reopen schools on July 13. Tropical Bali looking to reopen to tourists in October. Now the news in details. The Jakarta Education Agency plans to reopen schools in the capital on July 13 to coincide with the beginning of the 2020-2021 school year after schools have been required to implement study-from-home policies for several months in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Authorities have formulated three different schemes to allow students to return to school. The first option is to reopen a number of schools and allow all of their students to attend, while the second option to reopen several schools and only allow half of their students on the premises. Meanwhile, the third option is to reopen all schools while requiring some students to study from home. Naha Diana, the agency head, as quoted by Jakarta Post, said, without elaborating further, the implementation of the plan would take account the Jakarta's administration and the central government's policy, as well as the preparedness of each school's facilities to prevent COVID-19 transmission. Jakarta has implemented restrictions on mobility since April 10, with the restriction having been extended for a second period until May 22. Students are required to study from home during the PSBB period, as schools and universities remain closed due to the pandemic. Indonesia's tropical holiday island of Bali could reopen to tourists in October, thanks to its success in controlling the coronavirus outbreak, the government said on Friday. As of Friday, Bali had reported 343 coronavirus cases and 4 deaths, a much lower fatality rate compared with 16,496 cases and 1,076 deaths in the whole archipelago. If the infection curve continued to improve, the tourism ministry is looking to revitalize destinations and do promotional work for some parts of the country, including Bali. Partial reopening of those areas, which also include the city of Yogyakarta and Riau Island Province, may begin in October. Foreign tourist arrival into Indonesia plunked more than 60% in March, compared to the year earlier month, with Chinese arrivals sliding more than 97%. The Indonesian embassy in Bratislava handed out the second phase of relief packages to Indonesians reeling from the impact of the new coronavirus pandemic in Slovakia. The relief packages comprising rice, instant noodles, sugar, cooking oil, egg, canned food, and mask were handed out to 15 Indonesians constituting 12 migrant workers and 3 students partaking in the student exchange program, the embassy noted in a written statement on Saturday. The aid was offered to ensure that the Indonesians have sufficient food stocks during the COVID-19 pandemic, especially during the current holy month of Ramadan. The Slovak government continues to enforce a lockdown policy to stem the spread of the new coronavirus that has disrupted most economic activities in the country. Furthermore, the embassy has helped to repatriate 10 Indonesians. In the near future, the embassy will also help repatriate 3 other Indonesians studying at a local university. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Spraying disinfectants on the street as practice in some countries does not eliminate the new coronavirus and even possess a health risk, the World Health Organization warned on Saturday. In a document on cleaning and disinfecting services as part of the response to the virus, the WHO says spraying can be ineffective. The WHO also said that streets and pavement are not considered as reservoirs of infections of COVID-19, adding that spraying disinfectants even outside can be dangerous for human health. The document also stresses that spraying individuals with disinfectant is not recommended under any circumstances. The organization is also warning against the systematic spraying and fumigating of disinfectant on the surface in indoor spaces, citing a study that has shown it to be ineffective outside direct spraying areas. If disinfectants are to be applied, this should be done with a cloth or wipe that has been soaked in disinfectant. New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo said on Saturday, May 16, the state's new confirmed COVID-19 cases are predominantly coming from people who left their homes to shop, exercise, or socialize rather than from essential workers. State's data shows the number of new cases statewide has fluctuated between 2,100 and 2,500 per day. On Saturday, the number of new cases decreased to 2,419 from 2,762 on Friday. Cuomo added while last week he had theorized that new cases were coming from essential workers, that was exactly wrong. The infection rate among essential workers is lower than the general population, and those new cases are coming predominantly from people who are not working and they are at home. The state's budget director, Robert Mujica, said officials expect to learn a lot more about the genesis of new cases from contact tracing over the next week. At least 24 migrant workers trying to return home during a nationwide lockdown have been killed in a crash between 2 lorries in northern India. The accident happened in the Auraya district of Uttar Pradesh state early on Saturday when one of the lorries hit another park at a roadside cafe. Most of the workers were reportedly from the western state of Jharkhand and West Bengal. The government imposed a lockdown on March 24 to contain the new coronavirus. The move has caused economic disruption across the country and left millions of migrant workers who rely on daily wages to survive stranded with no money. Many desperate to return to their home states from big cities have been walking hundreds of kilometers or hitching rides on goods lorries, rather than waiting for spaces on the special bus and train services organized by the government. Top-flight German football kicked off again on Saturday as the French returned to the beach and Italy announced a resumption of European tourism, providing much-needed relief against the relentless drumbeat of death and economic devastation wrecked by the coronavirus pandemic. The reopening marked the beginning of a tentative return to normality in some of the countries worst affected by the global outbreak, which has killed 310,000 people, according to official tolls, infecting over 4.5 million. As governments sought to restart economic activity while trading cautiously amid the lingering, though in many cases warning pandemic, Germany's Bundesliga became the first major European football league to resume. On Saturday, all eyes were on the Bundesliga opening games, which were played to vacant, echoing stadiums. The Bundesliga returned to action behind closed doors on a day in which Borussia Dortmund hammered local rivals Schalke in Signal Iduna Park. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news analysis today about Europe premises gear up for summer tourism. The world's biggest tourism playground has been roped off since it became a coronavirus epicenter. But as summer looms, Europe is desperate to lift restrictions to get visitors pumping much-needed cash in two stricken economies. On Wednesday, the European Union unveiled an action plan to get its internal borders reopening, safely fire up its hospitality sectors, and to revive rail, road, air, and sea connection that have been strangled during the pandemic. Europe accounts for half of the global tourism market in terms of arrivals and has been particularly hard hit by the restriction. The European Union currently has recommendations in place to all its member nations that they restrict all non-essential visitors from outside. But with infection rates dropping off in some countries, this looks set to change. Some countries, such as Greece, are already naming specific dates. Others, such as Austria and Germany, are already lifting internal borders. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said on Wednesday that many internal European Union border restrictions would be lifted by June 15. Greece may end up becoming one of the first European destinations to open up to tourists again. Some businesses, such as hairdressers and bookstores, have already started to reopen, and Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis says he hopes to welcome back some travelers as early as June 1st. In Spain, the popular destination which welcomed a record 84 million visitors in 2019 is slowly easing restrictions. Italy has been one of the destinations worst hit by the pandemic, with a very long lockdown imposed back in March, but may not be off limits for much longer. The Italian government has said it expects borders to be open to tourists by summertime. Portugal has also begun to ease its lockdown restrictions, allowing hair salons, dry cleaners, and repair shops to reopen. Croatia closed its borders early and has managed to keep its COVID-19 death toll relatively low, with less than 100 fatalities so far. But like many European destinations, Croatia is reliant on tourism, accounting for 20% of its GDP. An official have suggested its borders may be reopened to foreign tourists later this year. By mid-May, the Swiss border crossings with Italy, France, Germany, and Austria will all have reopened. Czech Republic is likely to share a green corridor with Croatia. Proposals for a similar arrangement with Slovakia, one of the first European countries to ban international passengers travel, are apparently in the works. As one of the only countries in Europe not to issue a lockdown, Sweden has few restrictions to lift. However, its borders are still shut to countries outside the European Union or Switzerland, and these measures are set to remain in place for now. Nearby Austria is planning a gradual return to normality, with hotels reopening from May 29. Meanwhile, Denmark plans to lift its remaining lockdown restrictions by the second week of June. Iceland brought temporary internal border controls last month, banning all foreign nationals except for nationals of the European Union and associated European countries. Listener, that was News Analysis for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with this week's spotlight on Presidential's directive on the evaluation of large-scale social restrictions. President Joko Widodo said that there were already 4 provinces and 72 regencies and cities that implemented the large-scale social restrictions, PSBB. There are also provinces or cities or districts that have not implemented but have used other methods which, according to the president, have been successful. Speaking at a limited meeting at the Jakarta Palace on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo said he wanted an evaluation of the implementation of the large-scale social restriction. He gave 5 directions related to the evaluation. First, the president wants a detailed evaluation in the provinces, regions, and cities regarding data on the trend of new positive cases in each region, both those are implementing large-scale social restriction or not. Based on new case data before and after it, the results are indeed varied in each region. Second, out of all the provinces with the most positive cases, only 3 provinces have large-scale social restriction status, namely Jakarta, West Java, and West Sumatra, while the other 7 provinces are still not applying large-scale social restriction. Therefore, the president hopes that provincials, district, city that do not apply large-scale social restriction but only carried out physical distancing policies apply strict health protocols in people's daily lives. According to the president, both should be compared because there are innovations in the field by applying a policy model of limiting activities in the community adjusted to the process in their respective regions. Third, the president hopes that the management of large-scale social restrictions not to be entrapped in the administrative boundaries of governments. There is also acculturations in handling a large area so that the management of the regional statistic becomes encouraged. For example, as has been done in Jakarta, Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, Bekasi. They are interrelated so that the regulation of social mobility from the community can be integrated and become better. Fourth, based on the task force data, 70% of positive cases are in Java, and so is the highest mortality rate, which is 82% in Java. For this reason, the president asked the task force to ensure COVID-19 control in 5 provinces in Java was carried out effectively, especially within the next 2 weeks. Fifth, the president asked to the large-scale social restriction easing to be done carefully and not in a hurry so that the decision was really correct. That was this week's Spotlight. I'm Nugo Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
I'll begin with May 17, 1949, the Proclamation Day of Kalimantan. May 17, 1949 was known as the Kalimantan Proclamation Day. On that day, Kalimantan Island proclaimed that it was an inseparable part of the Republic of Indonesia. The Proclamation of Kalimantan was read by the Governor of the Republic of Indonesia's Navy 4 Division Kalimantan Defense, Lieutenant Colonel Hasan Basri. This proclamation was a form of reaction to the Linggarjati Agreement, which stated that only the island of Java was the territory of the Republic of Indonesia. Turning to May 17, 1950, the Indonesia Publisher Association, IKAPI, is established. The Indonesian Publisher Association, or IKAPI, was established on May 17, 1950 through the initiatives and agreements of several national publishers. The establishment of IKAPI was part of the resistance against foreign publishers, especially those of the former Dutch East Indies government, which monopolized the publication of books in the country. IKAPI was also formed on the desire of national publishers to assist the government in building intelligent Indonesian society. Since 2002, the establishment of IKAPI has been celebrated as National Book Day. I'll conclude with May 17, 1983, the May 17th Agreement is signed. The May 17, 1983 Agreement was signed between Lebanon and Israel during the Lebanese Civil War on May 17, 1983, after Israel invaded Lebanon and besieged Beirut in 1982. It called for the withdrawal of the Israeli defense forces from Beirut and provided a framework for Israel toward the establishment of normal bilateral relations between the two countries. Lebanon came under Israeli and Syrian military occupation during the negotiations. And listener, that was today in history.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are. who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan. He was listening to English program through frequency 3325 kHz on May 13, 2020 at 1300 hours until 1400 hours UTC with SINPO 433. He told that our broadcast reception in his country was very good. Hello, Mr. Muhammad Akil Bashir. Thank you very much for being our regular listener. I really appreciate because you always send your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Keep listening to Voice of Indonesia and send your next reception report. Enjoy the song.
Mungkin ku malu. You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today. Entitled National Sports Committee proposed PON Papua in October 2021. The Central Indonesian National Sports Committee, KONI, proposes the holding of the Papua National Sport Week's PON to be held from October 2nd to 13, 2021, after it was decided to be postponed by the government due to the coronavirus pandemic. The proposed date came after the KONI Center held a virtual meeting with KONI management in the region on Tuesday. As quoted from Antara in Jakarta on Tuesday, based on the result of the KONI virtual meeting, the time of the event had already taken into account the many multi or single international national sporting events in 2021. In addition, the meeting also discussed a number of other points, such as sports and the number of matches played, age restriction on athletes, entry by sports, and entry by name. The results of the qualification round that have been carried out in 2019 will still be a reference, even though the implementation of the PON will be delayed to the next year. In spite of being postponed for a year, KONI still requests that all venue and accommodation preparation be completed this year. Meanwhile, the Indonesian Parliament requested that the construction of unfinished venues for the 2020 Papua National Sports Week PON continue, although the holding of the four-yearly event was decided to be postponed. In addition to continuing the construction of unfinished venues and infrastructure, the House of Representatives commissioned TEND as PON organizer to properly maintain a number of venues that had been completed by 2020. One of the DPR members from Commission TEND, Rano Karno, suggested that the budget for the construction of venues and infrastructure remain prioritized and not to be changed. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from a message on Twitter from our listener in Pakistan, Mr. Kalab Abbas. He tweeted that he was following and observing VOI Twitter. He thanked to VOI for sharing and updating. Hello, Mr. Kalab Abbas. Thank you for your compliment. Satisfying our listeners is our duty. Because of that, we always try to improve our broadcast from day to day, even in the midst of COVID-19 pandemic, which is being hit our country. Special for you and other listeners around the world, here is another beautiful song for you. Keep listening and stay healthy.
Pernah terlintas tuk tinggalkan kamu jauh dariku kasihku, karena aku milikmu, kamu milikku, separuh nyawaku hidup bersamamu. Berdua kita lewati meski hujan badai takkan berhenti,
takkan berhenti.
Sehidup semati, mentari pun tahu ku cinta padamu. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, aku kan selalu ada temani hingga hari tua. Percaya aku takkan kemana-mana, setia akan ku jaga. Ujung kepala, aku ingin kamu, kamu yang ku mau, belahan jiwaku, kamu masa depanku. Berdua kita lewati meski hujan badai takkan berhenti. Sehidup semati, mentari pun tahu
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
RRI was office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I will introduce Lamang Tapai, a special dish of Ramadan in Padang, West Sumatra. Besides being famous for its special culinary rendang, Padang, which is located in West Sumatra province, also has a variety of menus for breaking the fast in the month of Ramadan. One of them is Lamang Tapai. In the midst of modern fast food, traditional food made from sticky rice and served with tapai, made of black sticky rice, is still the favorite when breaking the fast. Padang special food is made of white sticky rice which is roasted and served with tapai or fermented black sticky rice. The process of making lamang tapai is very traditional and unique. To make a lamang, a young bamboo segment is needed. After being washed, the white sticky rice is mixed with coconut milk and pandan leaves and sprinkled with a little salt. Then, the rice is put into a young bamboo segment covered with banana leaves inside. Then, poured coconut milk into it and then roasted. This must be done carefully so that the bamboo segments do not burn. The next is the process of making the sauce consisting of tapai made of fermented black sticky rice. It is steamed first, then sprinkled with yeast that has been crushed to powder, covered with banana leaves, and leave it for 3 days in a dry place until it becomes soft and fermented. It is delicious, sweet, mixed with a little sour taste. Lamang tapai also emits a distinctive aroma that arouses the appetite for breaking the fast. Lamang tapai, which is usually served in Minangkabau people's homes as one of the breaking fast menus, is also often found on religious holidays and traditional celebrations of the local community. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder with the topic of Lamang Tapai, a special dish of Ramadan in Padang. Now we'll reply an email from our listener M. Job in Solo, Central Java, Indonesia. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese program through frequency 3325 kHz. He was told that our broadcast was very clear in his region. Hello, Mr. Job. Thank you for your reception report. Your email has been forwarded to Japanese section. Thank you. As appreciation, we'll play another beautiful song. Here is the song.
Here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Miscellany. This edition is on ITS develops 25 results of COVID-19 handling research. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. November Institute of Technology or ITS Surabaya East Java is one of the universities in Indonesia that actively develops research, including during the COVID-19 pandemic. Since it began in Wuhan, China, ITS has developed about 25 research and innovations that can be utilized to help deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. ITS Chancellor Professor Muhammad Asha in a web seminar on Thursday, May 14th, said that there were many products successfully developed by ITS to help the handling of COVID-19. The results of this research and innovation include Raisa Rabat, hand sanitizer, face shield, hazmat shirt, mask, sterilization booth, swab booth, emergency ventilator, an ultraviolet robot. There are also thermal imaging, COVID information systems, and COVID impact modeling. At present, ITS is conducting research to develop a non-PCR COVID-19 rapid test kit. The RISA robot, which was developed in collaboration with Erlangga University, is currently being used at the university hospital both in the intensive care unit or ICU and high care unit or HCU. RISA robot that can operate for up to 8 hours is controlled remotely using Wi-Fi internet. The robot can carry a maximum load of 50 kilograms, including medicine and goods needed by patients. Until now, ITS has produced 4,000 liters of hand sanitizers and 140,000 face shields, 1,000 hazmat shirts, 8,000 masks, 20 sterilization booths, and 2 swab chambers, while the emergency ventilator is still in the testing phase at the Ministry of Health. That was Miscellany for today. We'll meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you!
Jika memang benar cinta tak pernah salah, lantas mengapa banyak yang menghalang? Jika memang benar sang waktu yang tak tepat, lantas mengapa kita dipertemukan? Berdebat hebat ego ini, oh Tuhan tolonglah, hapus semua rasa ku mencintai dia yang telah berbuah. Oh Tuhan tolonglah, batinku tersiksa, nurani berkata ku harus lepaskan. Mungkin semesta ini sedang mencoba mengajari kita untuk lebih dewasa, walaupun coba menjalani semua yang terasa benar. Berdebat hebat, berani dan ego ini, oh Tuhan tolonglah, hapus semua rasa ku mencintai.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present you a song by Virgin with Last Child. With some achievements in his solo career at 2018, Virgin is re-releasing his other works. Uniquely, in this work, Virgin collaborated with a band that has taken his name off, Last Child. The song titled Maha Pemilik Hati originally was released on May 4, 2018. Through the song, listeners can enjoy the four personal spiritual stories toward God. Listener, here is the song Maha Pemilik Hati by Virgin with Last Child.
Wahai engkau yang detakkan jantungku, panjangkan nafasku di dalam rahmatmu. Aku memohon terimalah taubatku, di dalam doa ku akui semua. Aku makhluk yang tak sempurna, yang tersesatkan oleh dunia. Berlindung kepadamu, memohon kepadamu agar menunjukkan jalanmu. Aku makhluk yang penuh dosa, aku makhluk yang penuh hina. Datang ke hadapanmu, bersujud kepadamu, wahai kau zat yang berhak atas hidupku. Kepadamu maha pemilik hati, tetap hatiku dalam hidayah-Mu. Kepadamu, ya Allah, sang Maha
baik hati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ku mencari seorang kekasih yang mengisi ruang kosong di hati. Dia yang terbaik untukku selama-lamanya untukku. Ku mencari seorang kekasih yang mengisi detak
time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions and 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitri Adala. See you on the next English program.